chapter 4.
Genesis chapter 4. I also want you to take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 in the Old Testament, and then Ephesians chapter 4 there in the New Testament. And we'll get to our verses here in just a few moments. Continue our messages on family matters and some different things as we look at some of the families in the Bible and some things that were going on in their families, and how we can apply what was going on in their lives then to today, and you know, kind of what did they do and what are some of the results of what they did and all that kind of stuff. The devil's definitely interested in the family. The devil wants to do everything he can to get inside the family. Of course, he was doing that. We talked about in the very beginning, whenever the devil was in heaven, and he did everything he can to put a wedge between God and the angels of heaven and broke the family of God up there. And then whenever he was cast down to heaven and God had formed man here on the earth, and the devil did everything he could to try to come between Adam and Eve and come between them and their God. And then now we see we're in Genesis chapter 4, still looking at the first family, even the problems that the first family had. There was a lot of issues, a lot of problems that they had. And then as we get down to their children and we see the things that's going on with their kids, we can see there's a lot of issues there, a lot of things going on there with the first family as well and their children. So having family problems isn't something that's new. Having family issues isn't something that is new. This is something that's been going on for a long time. How many of you probably had some family issues before? Hey, family problems before, yeah. And so all different kinds of family struggles and different things like that. So it's nothing new. So don't think tonight that because your family is a little crazy that you're different everybody else, because we're all crazy tonight. We're just crazy in different ways and different aspects. And so we've all got crazies in our family. You may be the crazy one in your family. We're going to look at family matters again here this evening. I think it'll be a blessing to you as we're going to finish up on jealousy and envy, and then we're going to get into a little bit about anger as we look and see what Cain did with his brother. But not just him, but some examples of some other people in the Bible that had some of the very same issues that Cain did. Oftentimes, jealousy and anger can kind of go hand in hand. You know, it's kind of like jealousy and anger is almost like husband and wife. You know, it's hard to have one without the other. So jealousy and anger is what we're going to be looking at here this evening. You're already in Genesis chapter 4, and we're talking about Cain. So let's just read that, and then I want us to immediately go to Ephesians 4, and then we'll go back to Genesis 4, if that makes any sense. Okay, so let's take a look at Genesis chapter 4. Let's begin here. Let's begin here in verse 1, and let's read down to about verse 7. And the Bible says, And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, we talked just a little bit. I'm not going to rehash last week's message. We talked about jealousy and what jealousy does, and what envy does. Envy a little stronger than jealousy, kind of about similar, but a little bit stronger. And so this envy, which was moving him, to have a lot of anger. And this anger then built up into really hate for his brother. And of course, this hate then led him to kill and slay his brother. So we can kind of see, how it graduated from being something small to elevating itself until it got to something really large. And that's how it usually goes. You know, the devil will start you out real small, and then a little bit more happens, then a little bit more, then a little bit more, a little bit more, until finally you just end up doing something you never would have thought you'd ever done, or now you've done something you completely, totally regret. But it comes in steps, you know, and that's exactly what happened to Cain. Now, we talked just a little bit in verse 3 about the phrase process of time. Now, there was a process of time that I believe that Cain was just like his brother Abel. They knew that they knew the sacrifice they were supposed to make. They knew what they were supposed to bring to the Lord. And that's something that he did. And that's something his brother Abel did. But there came a time, there came a moment, I believe, that Cain said, you know what, I'm not going to do it this way anymore. I'm going to do it my own way. And so during this process of time, and that's how getting away from the Lord is. It is a process. And during this process of time, he decided to do things his own way, to go his own route. Well, when he done that, it led from when he veered off that path of serving God, it went into a down spiral in his life, and he ended up slaying his brother. But he was very jealous of his brother. At this moment, he was jealous that it seemed like his brother was getting the pleasure from the Lord. You know, God was happy about the offering that his brother brought, but you know what? He worked hard out there in the garden and tilling and doing all that. But that wasn't what God wanted. So he was upset about that. And so he was very jealous of his brother. The Bible says there in verse 5 that he got very angry and his countenance began to fall. And so he ended up slaying his brother. God tried to warn him there in verse 7. Told him sin's laying at the door, but he didn't listen to it. And the Bible says there in verse 8 that Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, this was a premeditated murder. This was something that he just kept dwelling on, something he just kept thinking about, that phrase, and it came to pass is also kind of like a process of time. It came to pass one day. See, the devil has a way of whispering in our ears and doing everything he can just to build things up, you know, make a mountain out of a molehill. You know, that's what he specializes in, making mountains out of molehills. And so he was doing everything he could just to pump this thing up, getting more angry and more angry and more angry and more envious and more jealous and everything he could to get him to rise up against his brother, until that moment came whenever they were out there that he ended up slaying his brother, and he slew him because he couldn't even stand the sight of his brother probably anymore. He was so angry and just so jealous. All he wanted was for him to disappear, for him to get out of the way, for him to no longer be around. And so he took his brother's life. Now, before we get into the rest of our text there, and we're talking about jealousy and a little bit and also anger tonight, let's take a look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. If you would flip back over, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to begin there in verse 22, and we'll make our way down. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin there in verse 22. So we see that Cain was jealous of his brother. Now, how many of you have ever, you've probably been jealous of someone before, or maybe, you know, maybe jealous of your brother, jealous of your sister, or jealous of somebody like that. Maybe they got some praise and you didn't, or maybe, you know, something happened. Maybe they got an A on their report card and, you know, and everybody seemed excited about it and you got a B and nobody seemed to praise you as much or something like that. You know, sometimes it can be little things like that. Sometimes it can be something different. But at some point in our life, all of us have been probably jealous of something. I've told you about the time that I had this really nice bicycle when I was a kid, and I had some friends in the neighborhood that were really jealous of that bicycle that I had. You know, to me, I mean, I thought it was nice, but, you know, I didn't really... It wasn't like I was going around judging everybody's bikes or nothing. I just thought I had a nice bike, you know, and I was happy that I had it. But he had these really nice mag wheels on there, you know. I mean, Dad, he fixed that thing up nice. And I had some friends. I thought they were my friends in the neighborhood. I thought they were my friends anyway. And they were like, well, you know what? You don't really need them things on there. And why don't you take them things off and we'll see what your bike looks like without them. So, you know, I didn't know, big deal. So I took one off and I gave one to him, and then he rode around with it. You know what? I never got that thing back. He never would give that thing back. He put that thing on his bicycle. He never would. We went some rounds about that. That's a long story. But he ended up stealing one of them. And, you know, now here I am riding around my bike, and I just got one wheel on it, and one mag wheel on it, you know, and it just looks ridiculous. So I ended up taking the other one off because it looks so dumb. And, you know, but what happened? What it boiled down to is this, is that somebody just was mad and jealous that I had something that didn't, so they wanted to do everything they could to deceive me so they could have it, so that I couldn't. And that's part of covetousness, that's part of jealousy, that's part of all those things mixed together. But those are things that we sometimes do in our life. We may not necessarily mean to, it may not be something that we necessarily plan to, But sometimes things like this happen, you know. And so what do we do about that? You know, what are we going to, how we respond to this kind of stuff? You know, what does the Bible say about these things? Well, let's take a look. Now, if you're like me, you probably thought, man, he probably got mad. Yes, I did, but I wasn't as Christian then. Now, but let's take a look at it. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin. Let's look at verse 22. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says that you put off, let's talk about the new man here. The Bible says that you put off concerning the former conversation or the conduct of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The Bible says, listen, you gotta take off the old man. You gotta set aside these old things, these old ways, your old conduct, your old conversations, your old way of doing things. He said, you gotta take off this. He says, what is it? He said, it's corrupt according to deceitful lust. He says, this is what you need to do. He says, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He says, you need to be thinking about things a different way. You need to be looking at things a different way. You know, become a different person. And he says that, look, he says that verse 24, and that you put on the new man, take off the old man, put on the new man. Kind of like taking off a jacket. You know, you take off an old jacket, put on a new jacket. And he says, you put off the old man, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, what happens when we do this? Notice he says there in verse 25, he says, when you do this, he says, this, what you need to do is, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. Don't be gossiping and backbiting and making up stories and talking about stuff. I know it's interesting, but he says you got to stop it. In verse 26, he says, watch this. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't give an opportunity. So let's focus on verse 26. So the Bible talks about how he says, be angry and sin not. Now when we think about Cain, what did he do? Well, the Bible says that Cain, he rose up against his brother. And the Bible says he rose up against his brother. He was so angry. The Bible says that he was very wroth. He was very angry. Well, this wasn't something that got settled there between him and his brother. You know, when this happened, he obviously didn't go up to his brother and start talking to his brother about it and say, hey, you know what, you know, he didn't try to work anything out with him. We don't see that he went to God and prayed to God and talked to God, you know, really talked to God. But God tried to talk to him about it, tried to tell him he better watch out, tried to tell him he better be careful. But he never did get this stuff away, you know, off his chest. He never did really deal with it. And because he didn't deal with it, the devil kept bringing this up to him, until finally he just snapped. You ever snapped before? So ever saw somebody snap? They just snapped. They went off. Yes, you ever heard? I mean, it's like going ballistic. Somebody just blew their stack, whatever you want to call it. And they just blew up. And that's what he did. But, you know, he didn't try to work these things out like he was supposed to. And so one of the ways we're going to keep ourselves from getting so envious and getting so jealous is that we need to try to deal with ourselves. You know, we need to try to be content. We talked about this a little bit last week. We need to try to be content. We also got to understand that God doesn't give everybody the same thing to do as he does everybody else. Amen? Yeah, God doesn't give everybody, but you know what? It doesn't make your reward any less. It doesn't make your reward any less because, listen, I firmly believe with all my heart, we sit here and we talk about, you know, some of the greatest Christians in the world that have done some great things for the Lord. You know what? They're going to receive a reward for that. Yes, they will. But you know what? You'll receive just as great a reward for what you do for God. Even though you may not necessarily be out there in front of everybody, it may be something that you did on the behind the scenes that nobody really sees and nobody really knows or maybe even recognizes, but you'll receive a great reward for that. Don't think that just because you stand out in front of everybody that you get a greater reward than somebody that doesn't. Don't ever minimize your service to God. Well, anything that you do for God is great. If you do it for Him and you do it with the right heart, it's great. And so we got to think about, understand that too. But we see this right here. This was something that they both had the same opportunity. Amen? They both had the same opportunity. They could have both brought the same thing. They could have both done the same thing, but they didn't. And so he went a different way. He chose his own path. And then when he chose his own path and it wasn't accepted before God, he got mad at God and he got mad at his brother. He got mad at everybody. And it wasn't nobody's fault but his own. But you see, we can blame everybody. You know, so I think we see that he probably got this from his daddy because his daddy tried to blame his wife and then his wife tried to blame the serpent and then, you know, they all tried to blame God too. And so everybody was doing this blame thing and it was just passed down. You ever heard somebody just blame somebody else for something? You ever blame somebody else for something? Yeah, everybody probably has at some point in their time in their life. And so this is exactly what was going on. And notice what the Bible says. The Bible says here in our text, notice what he says. He says, be angry, there in verse 26. He says, be angry and sin not. You say, well, how can I do that? How can I be angry and not sin? Well, I think there are some things we've got to understand. Because you see, there is an anger that causes us to rise up in our flesh. There is an anger that causes us to rise up in our flesh and to do things that are very sinful. But there's also an anger. There's also an anger that can come up that is not sinful. Because if there was an anger that wasn't sinful, then God wouldn't tell you to have it. Amen. If there was an anger that wasn't sinful, then God wouldn't say, be angry and sin not. You say, well, what's the difference? We call it righteous indignation. You say, well, what's the difference between being angry and doing different things and righteous indignation? How do I know the difference between the two? Well, I think if we're going to figure out what the difference between anger, sinful anger, and righteous indignation, we want to figure out the difference between the two, then we got to figure out how does God get angry? How does God get angry? And then you gotta say, well, when God gets angry, what did he do? What was going on? What was his anger directed towards? You know, all these kinds of things. So if we want to know the difference between anger and sinful anger and righteous indignation, and then how are we going to figure it out? Well, we got to know how God gets angry. And I think some examples that we need to understand is, number one, righteous anger is an anger that is legally expressed. It's kind of like this. When God was talking to Cain here in Genesis 4, he gave him a warning. And he said, Cain, if you keep going this way, sin's laying at the door and it's going to get a hold of you. And Cain knew there would be consequences to that. Now, did there come some consequences to whenever Cain slew his brother? Sure there was. There was consequences to it. This is it. Righteous indignation. It's kind of like somebody that doesn't like abortion. And they say, you know what? I don't like abortion. So what I'm going to do to combat abortion is I'm going to go and burn all the abortion clinics down. I'm going to burn them all down. Now, if you went and burned all the abortion clinics down, is that legal? No. Is it okay to be against abortion? Sure it is. But it's not right to go and burn all the abortion clinics down. So you got to understand that there's a difference. See, everything that God does, when God says, listen, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. God doesn't issue what we call vigilante justice. Does that make sense? Vigilante justice. God says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a warning. I'm going to give you a warning. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you do this, there's going to be some consequences to pay. So there's a righteous indignation always follows what God says we should do. So if we want to know if we're exhibiting rather fleshly anger or righteous indignation, then we have to wonder, is our anger in line with the Bible? Is my anger in line with how God gets angry? Because if the anger that I'm expressing is not in line with how God gets angry, then that means I'm kind of out of the law. I'm disobeying the law, you know. And so righteous indignation is always lawful, where our fleshly anger, our fleshly wrath is not. And so that's the difference between the two. We got to say, all right, is my anger in line with the Bible? What is the next thing? The next thing is this, is that the difference between the two is righteous indignation isn't explosive, is not explosive. Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 6, what does the Bible say about God's anger? The Bible says that he is slow to anger. Slow to anger. Now, how many of you ever got angry just like that? And when you got angry just like that, you blew your stack just like that, you exploded. And when you exploded, you said things and done things that maybe you wished you wouldn't have or that you regret. Now, that's not how God does his anger. Because God knows what he's going to do. God knows what he's going to say. The Bible says that he is slow to anger. So whenever we think about our anger, if we're going to know the difference between righteous indignation and fleshly anger, is my anger in line with God? Is my anger like God's? And number two, is my anger slow, or do I just allow myself just to explode? Do I allow myself just to make a complete mess out of things? You ever been cooking something on the stove and left it on there too long, and then it just started boiling up and boiling over? Or maybe you ever? How many of you still cook with those? What do you call them? Those things that they let make all that noise there in the kitchen? Pressure cookers. Yeah, how many of you still cook with them? Anybody still cook with them things? Yeah, a couple of you do. Them things is dangerous right there, buddy. Now, you don't do them things right, and that thing's going to blow up everywhere. Sometimes that's how our anger is. Sometimes our anger can be messy, and our anger can be explosive, and it's chaotic. Well, that's not how God's anger is. God's anger, the Bible says, he is slow to anger. He's slow to anger. It takes a lot to make God angry. If you get the point to where you've made God angry, you've done something. Because the Bible says that God is slow to anger. And that's how we should, and that's how we should be. So, what is the difference between righteous indignation and anger? It's, for one, the fact that my anger lines up with God's word. My anger lines up with God's word. I'm not out of bounds. I'm not out of the law. My anger lines up with God's word. Number two, it's not explosive. I enable myself to become slow to anger. Slow to anger because God is patient. Listen, when we're walking in the Spirit, what are some things that we produce in our life? Gentleness, goodness, patience, and those kinds of things. And if you're walking in the Spirit, then you know what it's going to do? When those moments come up that you could probably be explosive and get really angry, because you're walking in the Spirit, and you're producing the fruits of the Spirit in your life, it's going to keep you from exploding like that, because that's what your flesh wants to do. But when you're walking in the Spirit, that's not going to happen, because you're walking in the Spirit. And you are now under the guidance and control and power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so now you are not going to explode and blow up like your flesh probably would have. So that's number two. God's anger is not explosive. The Bible says he is slow to anger. The next thing is that God doesn't have pleasure. God doesn't have pleasure in his anger. God doesn't have pleasure in his anger. But I tell you what, sometimes whenever people get mad at somebody and they say something to them and they do something to them to get that revenge back, they just feel so much better. They feel like they've been vindicated. Well, let's be real. What did it really get you? What did it really get you? I mean, you have this little small moment that you feel like you've been vindicated, but you've made a complete total mess. It's like walking in the kitchen and say, you know what, I'm gonna make spaghetti today. And you walk in there and what do you make in pressure cookers? What do you make inside them things? Anything? Anything? Well, let's say you're making something and you got it in there and the pressure cooker's gone and you got good intentions. You're going to make a good meal, but man, that thing explodes. And then everybody walks in, they see this mess. Everybody says, great day in the morning. What happened in here? Yeah, but it's going to taste great. It's going to taste great. Just lick it off the wall. Hold your plate. It'll fall off the ceiling. Now, you had good intentions. You had good intentions, and it might taste good, but you know what? You made a mess. And so it's like, what does it really get us? What does it really get us, you know? And so the Bible shows us here that, you know, God doesn't take pleasure in judgment. God doesn't take pleasure in anger. But I tell you what, sometimes we can, because it's our flesh desires to have that vindication. Our flesh desires to have that reward of I got you and I said the last word. How many of you ever know this, that the best things you could ever would have said, you said it whenever you've already left 5 minutes ago? You know, you're arguing with them. You're arguing with them. And finally, he goes that way and you go this way and you walk off and you're just, you know, and you always come up and, man, why didn't I say that? Man, that would have buried him. You always think of that stuff later on. But what good would it really have done? You know, what good does it really do? Our flesh desires to have that vindication. Our flesh desires to have that. Does the spirit desire to have that? No, it's the flesh that desires to have that. Because our flesh has to feel like it's right. Our flesh has to feel like that it's had the victory, you know, because we got to win, you know, win at all costs. It doesn't matter what kind of mess we make, as long as we win. But listen, if you walk in there and you're cooking and the pressure cooker blows up and you've made a mess out of everything, and did you win anything? You know, you didn't win nothing. And so our flesh has a desire to win. You know, people, they just argue until somebody wins. You know, who cares who wins? Let's just somebody be right and let's just get it over with and just serve the Lord. Who it doesn't matter who wins. But I think who I think wins? I think who wins at the end of the day is, you know, the Bible. I was told in Bible college that there's nothing that two people filled with the Holy Spirit of God cannot work out. Nothing. Because the Holy Spirit of God is not going to work against himself. So if both people have a desire to be filled with the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit of God and produce the fruits of the Spirit of God, then that's who wins. That's who wins. That's who wins. All right. Notice the Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak in verse 25, every man truth his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, what is he trying to say there? He's saying that, listen, when you get angry, he's saying, listen, when you get angry, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, if you have a wrathful spirit, then you're like Cain. You're like Cain right here. You know, he had a very wrathful spirit. The Bible says that he was very wroth. He was very wroth. He was extremely angry. He was filled with wrath. And because he didn't deal with it, one day he exploded and he even killed his brother because he didn't handle it, because he didn't deal with it. And so that's why the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You know, I've talked to some people and I say, you know what, sometimes it's better for me and sometimes it's better for us. We get in an argument, we just kind of lay on it and settle it in the morning. Hey, sometimes that works for some people. That's okay if that's the way you do it. Does that go against this verse of Scripture? I'm not so sure, because the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. It didn't say nothing about necessarily anger, just not let the sun go down on your wrath. I think it depends on what kind of mood. I think it depends on how angry you are, you know. If you are just so angry that you are wrathful, you know, the Bible says, listen, you need to take care of this thing. You need to deal with it, you know. You need to be careful. Don't let the sun go down on it, because what's going to happen is if you don't deal with it, then you're going to end up doing something. You're going to end up saying something. You're going to end up causing some sort of explosion, and you're going to make a mess. So the Bible says you need to deal with this wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. On your wrath. So what kind of spirit that you have? You know, you got to analyze your spirit. What kind of spirit do I have? You know? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. We think about Cain, man. He had a very wrathful spirit. Let me ask you this. Let's think about this. When we think about some examples in the Bible, we see that Cain was jealous of his brother and he slew his brother. But what are some others? You think about Sarah and her anger towards Hagar. What was she mad about? Well, she was mad that her husband and had children with Hagar and they weren't getting along, and you know they couldn't really have this family unit. It just wasn't working, and she was all mad. So she goes to Abraham. She says, "You're gonna have to tell her to get out of here." And so he tells Ishmael he has to leave. Tells Hagar she has to leave. And there's this big confrontation, big friction between them all. But her jealousy and her anger split that whole family. Her jealousy and anger split the whole family. But not only that, there's more to it than that, but not only that, let's think about Joseph. Remember his brothers, they were so jealous of him. His brothers were so jealous of him because, well, here comes daddy's favorite. Yeah. Here comes Daddy's favorite. And now that Daddy's favorite's here, look at him. Here he comes in the coat of many colors. Here comes Daddy's favorite. And then the favorite shows up, and they are so jealous of him that it moved them to envy. And so they begin to talk with it. Here comes this dreamer. Here comes Daddy's favorite. Look at him coming in his little beautiful coat that Daddy made him. And before they done got over there, they done planned and conspired against him. And they threw him down there in that pit, and they sold him away as a slave. And would have killed him if it wasn't for Reuben stepping up for his brother and saying, no, let's don't kill him. It would have killed him. That's what jealousy does. And that's what anger does. They were so angry, they were so wrathful that they were going to slay their brother. They were going to kill him. And then they shipped him off, shipped him away. And so what did their anger and jealousy and all that do? It split their family. It split their family. You know, my family, the Warrens, I tell you what, my grandfather, he's passed on now. He died in his 90s a few years ago. But him and his daughters and all them, he had three daughters and then a son, my dad. And all three of his daughters, one hadn't seen her dad. He's, like I said, he's passed away now. But one hadn't seen him since 40 years? They all got mad at each other. All got mad. They hadn't seen each other in 40 years. I think one of them was like 30-some years. The other one was like 20-some years. I mean, they all got mad at each other. Never saw each other for years. You know, that's what anger does. That's what anger does. That's what jealousy does. It splits homes. It splits families. That's what the devil did when he was in heaven. What did he do? He was angry. He was jealous. And he wanted the throne of God. What did he do? He split the family. And whenever he split the family, when he split the angels in heaven, he then come down here and he tried to split whatever kind of relationship that Adam and Eve would have with God. And then he tried to split whatever kind of relationship that Cain would have with God. He done everything he could. That's what jealousy and anger does. So we see Sarah. Think about Jacob and Esau. What happened there? They deceived each other. Jacob deceives his brother Esau. He gets all mad. He wants to kill his brother. What does Jacob do? He runs for his life. Doesn't come back for a long time. And so we can see the destructive trail that jealousy and anger has. You say, well, preacher, what do we do? Well, I think one of the things that we got to do is the Bible says right there, be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. And there's a difference between righteous indignation and anger. Number four, one of the differences between righteous indignation and anger is this. Is that righteous indignation is under control. Righteous indignation is under control. Whereas anger, because it's fleshly, it blows up. It explodes. It's out of control. You ever saw someone that was so mad that they were out of control? I mean, just so mad. I mean, just so angry that they is almost like they become another person. It was like they were just going berserk. It's because their flesh got a hold of them and wasn't under control. It wasn't under control. And when God gets angry, there's a plan for it. It's in line with him. He's not sinning. It's under control. It's under control. God knows what he's going to do. But our anger sometimes can get out of control. When it gets out of control, man, it says things and it does things. And once it comes out, we can't get it back. We can't get it back. And you can say sorry and sorry and sorry till you're blue in the face. And people can forgive you. But there's one thing they'll never forget. Was that word that came out of your mouth. You can't get it back. Now we can forgive, yeah, we can do that. But on those days that you're not feeling good and you're already kind of feeling depressed, and or maybe just kind of sitting around and maybe your day hadn't gone the way you want it to, you know what the devil's going to do? He'll come by and he'll kneel down here beside your ear and he'll say, you remember what he said? You remember what she said? Just to give you a reminder. Just to irritate you. Because that's what the devil does. Just to irritate you. anger, jealousy, envy. The Bible says that Cain, he slew his brother. Let's go back to Genesis 4 and we'll go home. The Bible says here in our text in Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says there in verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother. Verse 8, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, because that's what this anger does. It causes you to rise up against people that you love. It causes you not to be able to see straight, not to be able to really understand what it is that you're doing and what you're saying. And that the devil can come between you and your reality of what you need to be, cause confusion, get you to rise up against those that you love, then you will. And then he was punished. So as we deal with family matters, think about this tonight. Listen, we all get angry. We all get mad sometimes. There's a difference between fleshly anger and righteous indignation. And knowing the difference is going to help you. It'll help you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, we thank you for the messages on Cain and Abel and their family. And Lord, as we talk about anger and jealousy, Lord, I pray that you'd help our hearts not to be filled with these things. I ask, God, that you'd help us as your people to walk in the Spirit, to put off the old man, put on the new man. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to be the godly men and women you've called us to be. And Lord, as we leave this evening, I pray that you keep us safe and bring us back here to our next appointed time. Lord, bless us tomorrow, so go out soul winning, visitation. We love you and thank you for all we know you're going to do in this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.